you that you have sacrificed yourself on that cross to bring to us forgiveness, to bring to us justification, salvation. Lord Jesus, let us never forget the goodness that you've shown to us. Through your blood, through your death, through your resurrection, you promised to us that you would bring an end to suffering, that you would restore to us your good plan. So, Father, we bring to you those who are sick this week, those who are infirmed. Lord Jesus, we ask that your healing touch would be upon them. We pray for the troubles of the world, as we've seen in natural disasters and war and famine. Father, we pray that your grace would be there. We pray that you would send our brothers and sisters as agents of your love and peace into this world. Father, we pray that you would keep them safe. But above all, I pray that your light would shine through their actions. Father, as we approach your table, as we approach your word tonight, today, we pray that you would speak to us. Make us more like you each and every day. We pray this in your name. Amen. So again, good morning. Welcome to Westwood Alliance Church. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, to worship with you, and to serve you. And if you're just joining us for the first time in quite a while, we started a new sermon series specifically diving into the idea of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And last week, Pastor Jim was speaking on the first quality of a disciple, somebody who loves God, with everything that they are and everything that they have. And today we're going to talk about the second quality of a disciple. And the second quality of a disciple is somebody who understands the need for spiritual self-care, who understands what it means to be spiritually nurtured. Now, I want to preface this morning's message very clearly. I want to tell you, there is nothing that you by yourself can do that will make you a more spiritual person. It's not what we earn. It's not what we practice by ourselves. It's everything that I'm going to talk about today has to do with us practicing being more with God, practicing understanding who Jesus Christ is, allowing Him to change us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only then will we begin to understand fully what spiritual self-care and spiritual nurture is. A person who is a disciple, a person who is a disciple is someone who determines to remain in Christ, committed to taking care of one's faith, keep it vibrant, and to keep it growing. Someone who is a disciple will strive to deepen their faith, deepen their relationship with who Jesus Christ is, understanding what he wants for us and what he wants from us. And in the manual of discipleship that our denomination has, they measure it in these five ways. A person who understands what spiritual self-care is a student of the Word of God, knows how to study Scripture for yourself, how to be devoted in prayer, how to be active in spiritual disciplines, and puts a priority in the time management for self-care. All this to say, I think there are four major things that we need to understand about spiritual self-care. That is Scripture, prayer, worship, and holiness. Scripture, prayer, worship, and holiness. And the reason why we want to involve ourselves in our spiritual well-being is because without taking care of our spiritual well-being, we will not be a whole person. There's this great term that's going around, and I think it's been unfortunately hijacked by some of this health and wealth type of medical as well as spiritual people called holistic living. holistic living. And holistic living, or what holism is a philosophy of how we live that focuses on the interaction of everything that we are. A study, a method of treatment, or a method of being that's concerned with the whole or the complete system of who we are. And the problem with this is that it's been hijacked to say that all you have to worry about is that yourself and how you're doing, how you interact with other people and all of this stuff. And then we bring it into the Christian church and into the faith, and we try to understand what holistic spirituality is. And when we define it as being interconnected with each other, interconnected with God, interconnected with all that we have within us, it leaves it kind of, I want to say, a little bit hokey. Because it's not just what we can do. What I think the Christian faith needs for strong discipleship and strong, vibrant Christianity within our own lives is Christocentric living. And what is Christocentric living? Christocentric living is to be centered on Jesus Christ. Christ-centered. To understand who He is. That He is the Lord and Savior of all. That He is the one who offered us forgiveness and salvation. That He, as God Himself, came down to be the sacrifice for sin and death, conquered that through His death and resurrection, and restored us to who we should be. So the question then, how does this relate to spiritual self-care? Well, when we live centered on Jesus Christ, when we follow after Him, when we live with Him, when we live for Him, then we begin to understand what it means to be a disciple. Then we understand what it means to live a vibrant spirituality. Obviously, the best example for spiritual self-care is Jesus Christ Himself. As He walked on this earth, He had a practice of consistently being in a pattern of spiritual self-care or spiritual nurture. What do you mean, Pastor Joe? Well, He consistently took time for Himself to commune with God. He planned this. Every time that He had a major preaching thing or a major healing thing, the scriptures reveal to us and records that he took Himself aside. He went off on His own to be with God, to commune with God, to rest, to be restored, to focus on prayer and scripture. And this is something that I think we as 21st century Christians, 21st, right? 21st century Christians, we forget to do this. We often are so busy with how we serve in the church, or how we're responsible for this Bible study or that Bible study, or how we have to run the house or do things at work. We forget to put time aside to be with God. We forget that we too must take care of ourselves the way that Jesus Christ exemplified for us. Jesus Christ wants us to be whole beings, to be with Him and commune with Him. And without this idea of communing with Christ, living for Him and with Him, we will not ever be whole. So the example He left to us, first and foremost, was Scripture. When we study the Word of God, when we read the book of Matthew chapter 4, we saw that Jesus Christ, to begin His ministry, withdrew into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. And the devil said, hey, you know what, you're hungry? Just tell these stones to become bread and then you can eat. And the first thing that Jesus Christ said is, man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Scripture is important for us to study each and every day. You know, it's great to have Bible studies, and it's a vital part of who we are as Christians, right? Understanding, learning more about who Jesus Christ is, wrapping ourselves around the theology and all of the practices and all that stuff. Understanding what it is we believe by studying who Jesus Christ was. That's important, but more so than that, we cannot neglect the idea of devotional study. Devotional reading. I shouldn't say it's devotional study. Devotional reading. Reading scripture for the sake of communing with God is a very important and vital thing that we as Christians often neglect. And the reason we do this is because it's so easy, because we're ingrained to be academic. We're ingrained to be wanting to know how to tear scripture apart piece by piece so that we can get into the nitty-gritty of the theology or the practical applications, right? We want to know, what does this mean to me? What can I take from this passage to make me better? Which is great. It's a great practice. But before we even get there, scripture is God's word to us, who reveals his character to us, who he is, right? We are so concerned often with reading scripture as a textbook that we forget to read it as God's story for us, God's love letter for us. You know, I would be absolutely ridiculous to take some of my old love letters that my wife wrote to me. I keep them in a can. It would be ridiculous for me to break it down, looking at the syntax and the prose, seeing what type of grammatical structure she used to compose this sentence. That's not the point of the letter. It would be ridiculous for me to do this, right? And quite often we do this with God's love letter for us, and we forget to read it as God's love letter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 tells us, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So good, study scripture. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Scripture is the answer for us. Further on in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, it says this, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture." We must continue to read Scripture. Now, if you're interested in how to read scripture as a Bible study type of thing, or how to read it devotionally, let me give to you the time-tested tradition of the SOAP method of Bible reading. It's an acronym, S-O-A-P. Scripture, read it, large portions. Right? Scripture, read it, large portions. O, observations. Who, what, where, when, why, what was said, right? Typical stuff that we learned in elementary school, who, what, where, and why. What is this passage saying? What happened in it? Who was there? Characters, this, that, right? Applications, what can I take away? What does this, how does this parallel in my life? P, prayer. Ask that the Spirit changes you through reading the Word. That the Spirit changes you. Not that you can employ a new devotional technique. Not that you can become better at highlighting your Bible. No. Ask that the Spirit changes you in your heart. Second, what about prayer? We have to spend significant time in prayer. And this is another thing that I think a lot of Christians neglect. Long, dedicated periods of prayer. You know, I ask my children quite often, "Hey, do you guys pray every day?" And they're like, "Yep. Yep, I do." 17 years of youth pastoring. "Hey, guys, do you guys pray every day?" "Yep. Sure do." "How many times?" "Five." "Let me guess, five." "How did you know?" Well, you pray in the morning when you get up. You pray for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then you pray for the test. Yeah? No, this is not what I'm talking about. Dedicated time of prayer needs to be our one, it is our one communication with God. It's our direct line to who He is, to communicate our heart's needs and desires to Him. Right? Jesus Christ Himself leaves us this example of how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, if you're interested, says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the streets, corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received a reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask." Right? When I'm saying we need to spend time in significant time in prayer, I'm not saying the more words you have, the better. Prayer has to do with being and communing with God. So you can use scriptures as part of your prayer and meditate on them. Right? But if you're interested in how to pray, and this is a question that I get a lot, or used to as a youth pastor, got to keep that in mind. As a youth pastor, I was asked, I'm not sure how to pray, Pastor. I don't know. Jesus Christ leaves us this example. He says, when you pray, this then is how you should do it. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you." That was too complicated, Pastor Joe. I don't understand. Prayer. Here's another acronym for you. ACTS. A-C-T-S. If you want to bolster your practice of prayer, A-C-T-S. First and foremost, as we approach the throne of God in prayer, we express to Him our adoration. Adoration for who He is, the creator of the world, the forgiveness that He gives to us, the blessings and the providence He provides. Express to Him how awesome He is. Now, a great way to do this is to read through the Psalms. Read through as they were your own prayers. C, confession. Confession of any sins that you may have committed during the week. Confessions of any ill intent that is in your heart or any shortcomings that you may have experienced. Confess that you need Jesus Christ to be there for you, to carry you, to change you. Confess. T, thanksgiving. Give Him thanksgiving for all that He has given to you. And this is different from adoration, right? It sounds the same, but it's not. Adoration is praising God for the sake of praising God, who He is. Thanksgiving is praising God for what He's done and given to you. Thanksgiving for your brothers and sisters. Thanksgiving for the blessings. And S, supplication. Big fancy word, supplication. What does that mean, Pastor Joe? It means praying for others, bringing your requests to God. Please heal this person. Please give me strength. That's when we make our requests. A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Now, I hate to say that this is a formula that you can follow because I hate formulas. I really do. But some of us need that discipline. So as you read Scripture, S-O-A-P, as you pray, A-C-T-S. Third, I want to say worship. Worship is a very important and vital part of the spiritual self-care that we participate in each and every day. Right? Both individual and corporate communion with God and with each other is really, really important. Worship is the way that we ascribe God's worthiness, right? Worship is an action that we do. It's a conscious effort on our part. Worship isn't passive. It is active and requires us to practice it. Much like learning music or sport, how to cook, how to do laundry, we have to practice these things. Sometimes we forget that worship isn't innate, and we overlook the practice of worship. Even breathing, something that is ingrained in us as a person bearing lungs, I sometimes forget that I have to take the time to actively check how I'm breathing. How about yourselves? Are you sitting with your spine curved? Is your chin tucked? Are you taking deep breaths that are full? No, you're probably deep breathing just at your upper chest. Shoulders back, chin up. Extend your diaphragm, right? Even something as simple as breathing, we often forget there's a better way to do it. And like that, worship requires us to practice it mindfully. If we want to become better at worshiping God, we have to actively engage in it. Worship must be life-changing. Not every single time, but it should cause you to make decisions towards becoming more like Jesus Christ. We can't simply leave it as something that we come and do once a week. It needs to be something incorporated every day. To find the beauty of God's creation in every situation. To find the beauty and the care that God gives to us through the interactions of the day. If we truly want to move on from just a temporary or a passive way of worshiping, then we need to understand first who it is. So we have to employ Scripture. We have to understand how important it is for us to be with God. So we must employ prayer. Psalm chapter 95, verses 1 to 7 says this, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." Why? "For the Lord is the great God, the King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. "The time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way, in spirit and truth. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Scripture is very compelling to tell us that we must worship God, because he is first and foremost the creator of all, worthy of our adoration. But second, because it is our way of communing with him. One of the things that always struck me was the example of the God-shaped hole within deep in our soul. Everybody struggles through life, and I can't remember off the top of my head who first used this example, but within our soul is a God-shaped hole that we try to fill with many different things, but we continue to leak, unable to fulfill who we are supposed to be. And it's not until we understand who God is that the God-shaped hole within us is our need for who he is. That he fills that need in our life, and then the rest of us will be filled. And when this happens, when we understand that we need God, that is when we will understand our purpose here on earth. Why is it worth living? What's it all for? To be who God wanted us to be. If you're interested in having a conversation with one of our pastors about that, please come and talk to us. We'd love to. You know, Pastor Larry, Pastor Jim, myself. It's one of the best conversations that we could ever have. Fourth, spiritual self-care requires us to live in holiness, striving to be more like Jesus in heart, soul, mind, and body. Holy living for the sake of holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." Everything that we study in Scripture, all of our time in prayer, all of our time in worship, should cause us to live changed lives. Should cause us to desire to be more holy, if not for the simple reason that God himself is holy. But all three practices should drive us to want to be more like Jesus Christ. And this is the whole idea behind spiritual self-care. It's not just to make you feel better or to check off a bunch of lists that we have to do. That's not true discipleship. That's not true spiritual discipleship. True spiritual discipleship is geared, is all pointed for us to become more holy, to be more like Christ in all that we say, in the decisions we make, in the actions we perform. Without this understanding, we will never become good disciples. And what happens, though, Pastor Joe, if we neglect this? Well, if we don't read Scripture, we don't know who God is. If we don't commune with him in prayer, we don't feel him in our lives. If we don't worship him, we get bogged down by the troubles of the world. And when these things happen in our lives, we tend not to look for holiness. We tend to look for vices to help us cope, to make us feel better about ourselves. The opposite of what Christ wants from us. Spiritual discipleship is so important. Self-care, understanding who God is, understanding how to be with him, how to live for him. These are the reasons why a Christian needs to embark in the journey of spiritual self-care, not just to feel better, but to understand who we were meant to be. God's chosen people, holy and pleasing. Let us be more like Christ, starting with our own spiritual well-being. Now, if you need help with that, that's why we are embarking on this whole series on discipleship. Find yourself somebody to walk alongside with you. Find somebody to be a mentor. And if you need help with that, come and talk to one of the pastors, and we will partner you up with somebody. Oh yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not good speaking with somebody I don't know. Well, the problem with that is if you don't take the time to meet somebody and converse with somebody, you will never get to know them. You will never become comfortable with them. So you gotta start somewhere. Right? So take that step in boldness. Come forward. Speak to one of us so that we can partner you with someone who will do the journey of spiritual self-care with you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for bringing us here. I pray that you would give us the courage and the desire to take care of our spiritual well-being. Father God, make us more like you each and every day. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Please stand as we close out. And thank you, Pastor Joe, for the message of the different things that a disciple must continue to do in our lives. One of them is holiness. And so, Lord, right now, all of us here, we just ask, O Lord, that you would help us to give us clean hands and clean hearts and clean minds to approach you, God. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Let us not lift our souls to another.
2 verse 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Just a few brief announcements for you this morning. Again, we have our Festival of Learning happening at 11:30 after our coffee time, so please come and join us. Pastor Jim and myself will be downstairs at the B678 rooms, and Pastor Joel will be upstairs in the M1 room. Just for your reminder, too, that Pastor Joel's speaking on baptism, teaching on that. And then beginning in March, there'll be a section he's going to be talking about in way of membership. So if you haven't transferred your membership yet to Westwood Alliance Church, this would be an opportunity for you to join the class at that point and take part of the membership part and then transfer your membership here to Westwood Alliance Church. Also, you'll note that there's a few other important things that are happening. Our men's group is happening, number four there, and number five, our town hall meeting is coming up. At the end of the month, we have a thing called an AGM, Annual General Meeting, and we talk about the church's finances and things that are related to our elders' board ruling and directing us as a whole entire church. We're not just one congregation here, we're three congregations. And so we all come together at our AGM as a membership, and then we vote on various things. The membership actually rules the church. So you as members would want to engage with that. So I encourage you to mark your calendars and be here on that Sunday. And I believe it, it's at 2:30, right, Larry? And Larry's going to be chairing that. Not this Larry, that Larry. Okay. Also, you notice that our 25th anniversary is this year. So we got a lot to celebrate, 25 years here together at Westwood Alliance Church. So we're looking for logo designs for that 25th anniversary. So if you have a creative bent, we encourage you to look at designing something for us in way of that. Also, our short-term trips are going to be happening with the vision off to places as far as Cambodia. So if you want to join that, you'll want to talk to Pastor Joe or Pastor Ray. And also a trip out to Montreal for those that are involved in leadership in our church. So please talk to Pastor Joe and Ray about that and what that might involve. Also, if you haven't picked up your tax forms, you'll want to do that today. That's your tax receipts, okay? We're not taxing you today. You'll be picking that up for your giving and your offerings, and you can apply that to your taxes come tax season. So thank you so much for joining us here at Westwood Alliance Church. And again, we ask God's blessings upon you. You as God's people are his disciples, encouraging each other to live the Christian life as Pastor Joe preached to us this morning in way of the scriptures, in way of prayer, in way of worship, in way of walking before God in such a way as to honor him. May God bless you in that walk. Amen.
to me. For your goodness, I will ever praise you. Oh.